what I wanted to talk about today anyway was why unity is different and why we like it and what it means and how we present it in the world as we go about our days. And one of those things is we get to sing songs by the Beatles in church on Sunday. And other popular musicians of the last 50 years. So just look at all of you. You looked around the room to see all the people that are your friends. We're so lucky, aren't we? And do you know we have a whole host of people around the world who watch us as well, either right now or later on. They'll be watching us. And so isn't it wonderful that the internet, it's one of its great benefits is that it knits us all together. Sometimes we don't want to be knit, but we have an opportunity to connect with each other. And one of the things that has been so lovely, oh my goodness. How we doing, baby? He is good. You know, this child either sleeps or pays attention during service, like many of you, so. So let us become as little children. One of the things that has been so lovely this week is to see the outpouring. I mean, I've experienced it myself, but to see the outpouring of love and concern and care that has spread through this community like wildfire for our friend Stanley Tartikoff and his wife, Jan Govain. Stanley took a pretty serious fall on Wednesday night, wiped out. He really did, broke his jaw, lost some teeth, fractured some ribs, has already had one surgery, and there will be another one in his future, and he's going to be consuming his nourishment through straws for a while. But what's so sweet about this is that rather than making, when I first came into ministry, you would have to have a phone tree. You remember those? Like those of you in PTA and all those things, you'd have to have a phone tree so that everybody could know what was going on with everybody else, and it would be kind of a lumbersome method to be able to be in touch with each other. Now we can all know in an instant, and prayer can begin instantly. So, you know, as rapidly as the world is moving, we also have a chance to be rapidly healing. And I want you to take hope from that. So let's talk for a little bit about why we came here, why we're staying here, and why this works for us, and why it works for the world. I know that when most of you know my history, but I grew up Southern Baptist, and then I went to a prominent Baptist university and decided I didn't want to be Baptist anymore, and became an Episcopalian. And I was a music history major for a while and played an instrument, you know, most of my life. And so I really loved the liturgy of the church because I'd studied that in early music history. I loved the liturgy. I loved the ceremony. I loved the sense of peace and continuity until it was not enough anymore. And that is nothing against the Episcopalians. I still love to go to an Episcopal Mass. But I was seeking something else. And you know, when you have that divine discontent, you look for something that will satisfy it. And a lot of people, when they first come into New Thought, are like, wow, this is great. This is everything I've been looking for. This is so fantastic. This is what I've believed all my life, and somebody's saying it. All the questions I had in my childhood, now somebody's beginning to help me find those answers or to be comfortable with the question. And it's all really great until we get to the growth part. And it's like, wait a minute, I wasn't expecting this. And some people say, no, I'm not ready to talk about this thing that's troubling my life. I'm not ready to deal with that. Except the trick is that it's dealing with you already, you see. So whether you want to deal with it or not, it's there. It's running the show. So when you come into a community like this, it allows you an opportunity to kind of dig out all those old things that need healing. And it may mean that you discover that maybe you should be in recovery from addiction. Maybe you discover that you need some therapy. Maybe you discover you need some body work. Maybe you discover that prayer has an effect on your life. Hopefully you discover prayer has an effect on your life that you were never aware of before. And so here's what's different about us. And I'm just going to go through the five basic principles of unity. Some of you know them. Most of you, all of you should. Well, you're here. I mean, so you kind of should know what it is we believe here. And when Kit works with you next month on religious science, what the Centers for Spiritual Living talk about, you're going to see the same themes expressed in a different way. So one presence and one power, God, period. One presence and one power, God. Somebody said in our Wednesday night class the other day that one of their relatives said that they're afraid, their relative is afraid that they're going to go to hell because they don't believe in the devil. That sounds kind of, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? You know? If a tree falls in the woods, I mean, so there's no devil. You know, human beings distort the truth. Human beings misuse power, and that's where evil comes from. Okay? So there's not a devil making you do it. You're doing it all by yourself. Sorry. Every single person is imbued with the spirit of the Christ. Not the spirit of Jesus, although Jesus was the expression of the Christ. That is the anointed divine essence of you. You are as much a part of God as everything else that exists in the universe. And so is everybody else. And when we begin to view the world and the people in it that way, we begin to see through different eyes, do we not? So it's important for us to remember that the Christ Spirit, God, lives in every single person, especially the ones we don't like, especially the ones where we do not see evidence. Not seeing evidence does not nullify that. That's about three negatives in a row. What it means is every single person, no matter their behavior, is destined toward their divine fulfillment. Every single person. It doesn't matter. It's not our business how they get there. It's only our business how we get there and how we support each other. Okay? So there's two unique things. That brings on a lot of personal responsibility, doesn't it? If God is everything, then God is everything. If the Christ Spirit is indwelling every single person, that's every single person. The third principle is called the law of mind action. The way you think about the world is the way you experience the world. The way you shape your thoughts shapes your experience. Now, the first thing people ask me in a class, because I know you got that question, I saw question marks popping up above heads all over. What about the bad things that happen? Is it because we thought it up? It's more instead of why, it's how. Why did this happen to me? This happened to me because my car was in the wrong place at the wrong time and somebody hit me. I got cancer because my body needed to get rid of something. How will I go through cancer? It's more important than why I got it. So then you have the responsibility, to shape how you want to see life. It's more than just following a set of rules. And so it's very important for us to have a beginning of an internal experience of God so that we can know how to live our lives. I saw a little thing the other day that said, the way your day goes is determined by which way your mouth is curving. Pretty nice, huh? Now, that doesn't mean you have to smile all the time. That is not what I'm saying. I am not saying that unity or new thought is happy, happy, joy, joy all the time. What I'm saying is you can determine how you will live with your life, and you're going to have bad days. Anybody who has not had a bad day, you're excused. You may leave. Because you don't need what I have to say. You can just transcend right on out of here. So the way we get to decide. So we have this process that we call denials and affirmations, where we're saying that not that things don't exist, but that this thing that exists that's not pleasant for me has no power over me. Instead, I lean on the power of God. It's that simple. I'm bringing like something we could talk about for an entire month into a few minutes here. So your affirmation might be, this relationship in my life that is uncomfortable for me is an opportunity for growth, and I will take responsibility for my growth through it. Everybody's got somebody. The alternative to that is, I am a victim of the circumstances of my life. No, thank you. And we're smart enough not to say that out loud. But sometimes we think it. Wah, wah. One of the women I used to work with would say, wah, 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 call me an wambulance. So, you know, that's why we don't get to indulge in self-pity except for just a few minutes. Go ahead and have a few minutes of self-pity. Go ahead and whine for a bit. Or I love the way British people say it, whinge. Whinge. Oh, stop your whinging. I just love that. I'm going to use that on one of y'all one of these days. Say, come in for counseling or something. We'll have a deep conversation. I'll just say, oh, stop whinging. Get on with your life. Sorry, Barbara, I know that was really awful, but we have that responsibility. Now, which would you rather have? Would you rather have a church that tells you how to do everything and has a set of rules that you have to live by and that you have to go confess if you did something wrong? Or would you rather have some... Do we need to talk, Chip? I mean, or would you rather have some self-determination about the course of your life in step with your Creator? I'm making the choice pretty easy here. That's what it's about. Fourthly, we hold that prayer and meditation are the way that we make conscious contact with our Creator. It's very important. it's very important that we step right into God every time we run into an issue in our lives, every time. Now, we're getting better. We haven't perfected it yet, that the first thought we have is, ah, let me pray about this. Sometimes the first thought we have is absolutely not that. But we're learning and we're practicing. That's why it's a spiritual practice to turn to God, to pray, to make conscious contact. And you see what begins to happen, my friends, is you begin to see the world differently. And things begin to take on, physically, things begin to take on a different glow. It's almost like you can see the molecules that make up things. Is that woo-woo enough for you? But we begin to see that everything is living, and we're part of that. And so then we move into that paradox of being perfectly unique, a perfect expression of God, and yet we are one with the entire universe, and our this human life we have right here is but a blip in time and absolutely essential. And we're not that big a deal, and we are perfectly holy. Do you see? We must come to terms with that because we are living in a human body. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. It's the other way around. I like to think, some people think that we get to come to this earth as punishment. We did something in the karmic universe where the great divine, the almighty said, all right, instead of you living as pure energy, I'm going to send you to earth and put you in a body of flesh with all of its fleshliness. And you're going to get to enjoy food, and you're going to get to enjoy intimacy, and you're going to get to enjoy music and birds and oceans and all the other things and children and everything. And you're also going to know pain, and you're going to know suffering, and you're going to know death, and you're going to know discomfort, and you're going to run right up against yourself. And lucky you, you have everything that you need in order to do it. Everything that you need to do it. Now, breathe on that. The fifth principle. It's why unity is called practical Christianity. Is that none of anything that I've said makes any difference unless you put it into practice. None of it makes any difference unless it becomes a living, breathing part of your everyday experience. It is something you live. It is not just a theory. It is not just a theology. It is not just words. And you know what I welcome? I welcome, if you have a question about something I say up here, Kit says up here, anybody else, and you have because it doesn't, something's just not quite clicking for you, please ask. This is a place in which questions are welcomed. Unlike many of the places that we might have been exposed to when we were younger where questions were not welcome. We were supposed to just accept. And I remember having those questions at least when I was 9 years old. At least, probably before. I knew when I was 4 years old and I went to a big fancy, the First Methodist Church of Fort Worth. Big, beautiful, Gothic building. I was in that church for the first time when I was 4 years old, and I told my mom that I thought God lived there. So I had that awareness as a child. But then by the time I was 9, I was going, wait a minute. something about this, Jesus died for my sins, but I'm still a sinner, and I'm not quite saved yet, but I might be, but what? I remember that question all the time. And it was easier just to say, okay, I'll go along with it, whatever you said, baptize me again. I mean, I'm whatever. So it was confusing. And so when we started, I don't know about you, but many of us started our search by looking at things that were paranormal, you know, the things that are of other realms of understanding in the universe. We started looking there. And we started experiencing God in a different way, experiencing the energy of spirit in a different way. And then we came around to a place where we can begin to explore ourselves. We can begin to understand that we are totally, totally loved all the time, without exception. If you need to hear that today, take this in. You are loved unconditionally all the time, without exception. Take that one in. And as my mom said to me once, if God doesn't judge you, how dare you judge yourself? I got a wise mama. So here are the questions I'll leave you with today. Many of you have seen this book before. This is my Metaphysics 1 textbook. From the first time I went to Unity Village in 1988 in the summer and got my mind totally blown. And you can't find this book anymore. So I hold it like this. They came out with two newer versions, I mean, volume 1 and volume 2 that are newer, and you can't find those anymore either, so I hide them. Why can't I know, right? This needs to be transcribed and put out in a book because this has some of the greatest writing in all of Unity. All the great authors in Unity and other places are in this. So this is on page 1. In the introduction to this book called What is Truth? Let's see, and this came from, oh yes, Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, wrote a book back in the 30s, I believe, called Atom Smashing Power of Mind. In the 30s. He was on to something, I think. He said, what we mean by truth is concerned with the great fundamental questions that have always perplexed and at the same time engaged the profoundest attention of men, of humans. What is the character of God? How does God create? What is the real character of man? What relation does he bear to his source? What is the ultimate destiny of man and the universe? So you might want to just jot those down and think about them this week and see what you come up with. And if you'd care to turn in a paper, I'll be happy to grade it. Just a few profound questions. But here's the last one I leave you with, probably the most important question. If we know all this, if we're beginning to incorporate all this, if we know who we are, then who shall we be in the world? If we know who we are, what shall we do in the world? If we believe this, if we embrace these principles, they are our clothing They are our countenance that we carry into the world every day. It's not like you get to be one person here and somebody else when you go out into the world. You don't get to have your Sunday self and your rest of the week self. This is who we are when we go out into the world. Seeing God in everything. Seeing God in everybody. Creating our experience as we go. Rolling with the changes. Praying and meditating. Incorporating the practice in everything that we do. You want to change the world? Do you want to change the world? I knew there was a yes there. So glad. Then be this. Do this. Live this. Let's pray. Just breathe into your heart. I know one of the phrases that came up this week when we were talking about breathing, it's nothing new for people who practice yoga, but usually we breathe somewhere at about our fifth rib up. We want to expand that bowl of our belly and breathe into that. Just let it just fill you up. And if you're not accustomed to breathing that way, it's a good practice. Do it a little bit at a time until your body can adjust to this kind of deep, life-giving, mind-calming breath. And beloved, it seems most important this morning that we sit here with our breathing and we accept the love of spirit. Just accept it. Take it on, wear it like a soft blanket or an elegant cloak. The love of spirit filling you up. Comforting all those moments in your life that were uncomfortable. That might have been terrible. Giving you strength and courage to walk through whatever is next for you. That love that makes your feet a little bit lighter as you walk your road. That love that brings together your mind and your heart as one unified organism that animates and inspires your body, your words, your thoughts, your actions. Do you understand how precious that is? Do you understand how precious you are? Take it on. Accept it wholeheartedly. And know that the second part of this is to take that out into the world. To be that precious, beloved, inspired Christ spirit Now let your heart fill up with gratitude. Oh, we have so much to be grateful for. Keep breathing. Breathe in that thank you, God. Breathe it in. And breathe out a blessing on the world, beginning with people close to you, people in our community here, your families, your friends, your neighborhoods. This state, this country, this world, this universe, let it just expand and expand because your blessing matters. And for all this goodness, we are so grateful. And so it is.